Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
An appeals court upholds religious schools' employment freedom. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. A federal court of appeals has recently ruled in favor of the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina, protecting the freedom of religious schools to employ school teachers who will uphold their religious beliefs. This is a big decision, and it is a big decision that's happening around the country. More than one of these decisions have come down recently because religious employers, churches, schools, and other kinds of religious employers are being challenged, particularly over their right to hire, fire, employ, promote, to have people that are part of their ministry that are expressions of their mission. They have a clear right to do so, but they're being challenged by this LGBTQ agenda.
So Lonnie Billiard, a former teacher, sued the school in 2017 for sex discrimination under Title VII after he was fired. Now, this is a Catholic school, so they have a particular mission statement, right? So this former teacher taught English and drama at the school for 12 years before retiring and transferring to a substitute role. And as a teacher, he previously signed a contract agreeing to uphold teachings of the Catholic Church. But in 2015, he entered a same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage in violation of Catholic teaching and made public statements on social media advocating against church teaching. When the school chose not to continue employing him as a substitute teacher, he sued the school and the Diocese of Charlotte for asking their teachers to support the school's religious mission, which is what he agreed to do in the very beginning.
You know, this is just astounding to me that people would file suit against religious organizations, like in this case, when they know the mission of that religious organization
Absolutely.
Holds to certain values, whether it's pro-life or whether it's the fact that God made only two genders, male and female, whether it's marriage between a man and a woman. Those are clear core issues.
And if you don't, you know, if you decide you don't agree with those, that mission anymore, then you leave.
But move on to some other place.
You don't sue it because that's what you had agreed to in the beginning.
They know when they are signing up for this, that this is their mission. And in this case, the person, as you mentioned, had agreed to this. So it's not the church, the diocese, the school, the Catholic organization that changed, it's the person who changed. And now, because of that change, that individual wants to change the institution. But, you know, the fact is, if that were the law, if somebody could simply change their view and then change the mission of the organization, then no organization, no religious organization would be safe.
It's like this teacher is trying to punish the Catholic school for upholding its mission statement, which he previously agreed to. So he's going to sue them because he changed and decided he didn't want to adhere to Christian beliefs and go into a same-sex relationship.
You know, I've always said it's not a matter of if, but more likely a matter of when you will face a challenge like this as a Christian religious institution, whether it's a school, church, or other some religious employer. So I encourage you to make sure that your policies are in order, that they clearly state your mission, clearly state your position, and clearly state your doctrine, particularly on the issues of life, marriage, the LGBTQ issues, gender, etc. It used to be that you didn't have to do that, but I think it's a good thing to do that because you will likely get challenged. I think it's also good to make sure that the employees know clearly what your mission is. As in this case, lots of times what you have with schools, they have annual contracts that people sign. And so it's easy for them to put this in their annual renewal contract with these teachers. But in other places of employment, they come on, they may be there for a number of years, like this person was, and they never have to have a review of policy, and the organization doesn't review the policy. It's good to try to get that information out periodically to make sure people know about it, certainly put it in your handbook.
Right. Well, here the court agrees with you and found that this former teacher was a minister because Charlotte Catholic requires its teachers to model and promote Catholic faith and morals, and he played a vital role in advancing the school's religious mission. Even if he taught secular subjects such as English and drama, the school expects its teachers to begin each class with a short prayer led either by the teacher or the students, though it does not dictate the content of the prayer. It also requires its teachers to accompany students to all school mass, where they play a supervisory role, though not specifically religious role. So they're considered as ministers in this context.
Yeah, the diocese's own mission statement says, quote, "We the people of God in the Diocese of Charlotte, fortified in the Father, redeemed in the Son, empowered in the Spirit, are called to grow ever more perfectly into a community of praise, worship, and witness. We seek to become ever more enthusiastically a leaven of service and a sign of peace through love in Piedmont and Western North Carolina." The school's motto inscribed at the entrance reads, quote, "The soul of education is the education of the soul." This Court of Appeals has jurisdiction in North Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, and South Carolina. And this court upheld the right of the employer to do what it wants to do with regards to the employee. It overturned a lower court decision. The court overturned this lower court decision on the 8th of May and reaffirmed the Charlotte Catholic High School's religious freedom as a result of this lawsuit by a former teacher that was brought here. So this is a good decision. This is one of many. In fact, Liberty Counsel is representing some very large religious institutions on this very issue, where someone comes as an employee. In this particular case, you had someone who had been there for 12 years. Then he retired. Then he transferred to a substitute role. Then he enters into this same-sex relationship, and then he gets relieved of his position. In other cases, you'll have someone that comes in, and they want to test your place of employment. So they come in. They don't tell you exactly a lot about their background or their desires or their intent. And then when they get past the probation period, if you have a probation period, then they come up and say, oh, you know what? I want health insurance coverage for my same-sex spouse. All of a sudden it becomes evident that this person's in a same-sex relationship that is contrary to your core religious mission and doctrine. What do you do? Well, under these cases, you have a right to be able to make employment decisions that protect your mission. The question is does this fall within what's called the ministerial exception? Ministerial exception really, in this case, is easy for this school because it's a teacher. And this teacher is communicating the message and mission, and that was actually a requirement of employment. But in other cases, you need to think through all of your employees, because frankly, I think no matter what level of employee you have, they are or should be in a position to communicate in some respect or manner your core mission. Number one, they need to know about what your core mission is. Number two, you need to hire people consistent with your core mission. You need to take employment decisions based upon that core mission. And you need to understand that everyone, even if they're, say, the receptionist, that person may be the first and only communication that anybody from the outside ever has with your ministry and your organization. So everyone really, I think, should be thought through in terms of a vehicle for transmitting your core mission and therefore bring them under the ministerial exception.
Yeah, because I would ask the question, you know, so why would someone want to work in an organization that does not agree with that person's personal religious beliefs or non-religious beliefs? And in this case, you know, he's been working there many years and then he changed. So did he change, or is this, and maybe the other cases that you're talking about, was there an underlying agenda going on? They really didn't want to work there, but they had a point to prove and wanted to make that public.
Well, in this case, you never know. In this case, he worked there for 12 years and then this came up. But in other cases, we've seen recently with a couple of different situations, someone who's hired on, and it happens only after the probationary period expires, 90 days, if that's what it may be in one place of employment or another. And then they come up and say, well, my 90 days is over. I now want to have insurance benefits and I want it for my same-sex spouse.
But it's a Christian organization.
Yeah, and they know it. So be prepared. We have information and policies that can help you to do so. You can go to Liberty Counsel's LC.org website. You can send in an email. We can send you information if you are interested, and certainly we can counsel you if you face one of these critical issues. I think we're winning these battles, but we need to be prepared. LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.